Let's go. First of all, Mazel Tov, Bina. Yaakov's engagement, very exciting. Maybe we'll have a shiur at the end. I'm kidding. Very exciting.
We'll see the day after if I'm here.
Okay, yeah, we'll see. It's okay. No pressure. No pressure.
It's on a Sunday,
the way. There she is. Okay. All right. So sorry for the hiatus. I find it very ironic that Hanukkah, which is supposed to be the yontif of a return to learning, is a yontif when there's no shiur. Everything gets canceled. Kids are home from school. It's very odd, whatever. We can talk about it a different time. But we missed two shiurim during Hanukkah, so I apologize.
There's so many days. Like, when I first was learning, I was raised this way, it bothered me. So many important days have no learning.
Yeah. It's okay. So now is an important day we have learning, so that's good. Okay. So now we find ourselves fast forward into Parshas Vayechi. And I want to take a look at a story at the way, way end of Parshas Vayechi that is a very, I think, very disturbing story, but I think has a lot to try to understand. So let's take a look. Source number one on your sheet. You'll tell me at the end if that's the right title at the top or not, but we'll decide that later.
We'll decide if it was wrong.
Yeah, if it was wrong or if it was right. Or if it was right that it's wrong, or I don't know. Vayiru achei Yosef ki meis avihem. So the brothers of Yosef saw their father die. This is after. The Parshas Vayechi begins with Yaakov, making Yosef promise that he's going to bury him. Don't bury him in Egypt. Bury him in Israel. He blesses, gives a special bracha to Manasseh and Ephraim, and then gives the brachas to all of the brothers. Right? Then they take Yaakov dies. They embalm him, and then take him to be buried in Maaret Machpelah, and then they come back. So now they've come back, and now they see their father has died. Also funny, really now they said the father died a long time ago, but okay, fine. Vayamru, and they said, Lu yistamenu Yosef. We're going to have a hard time translating that word, Lu. I'll have to see what that means. Let's say, maybe, we'll say that for now. How did the translation say it? What if, right, Yosef still bears a grudge against us. Vashev yashiv lanu es kol ha-ra she-gamalnu oso. And he's going to now pay us back for all the bad things that we did to him. Vayetzavu al Yosef le'mor. And so they command, also interesting language, the command to Yosef saying. Also funny language. Avicha tziva lifnei moso le'mor. Your father commanded the following before his death. Ko sermu li Yosef, say the following to Yosef. Ana sana pesha achecha v'chatasam. Please accept the iniquity of your brothers and their the things they've done wrong. Kira gamalucha, because they did bad things to you. V'ata sana lafesha avdei elokei avicha.
Yaakov didn't know.
Oh, good. Good.
And why so, didn't Yaakov tell this directly to Yosef?
Okay. We have lots of questions. Good.
This is not true.
Right? Oh, okay, good. All of the questions that you're bothered by are good questions we have to attack. Good. No, it's good. It's good. I'm glad. It's like impossible to read this whole story. You're like, wow, it doesn't make any sense. Good. So now, take back, forgive them, etc. Vayech Yosef b'davar milav. And Yosef started to cry as they are talking to him. Okay? Vayachu gam echa vayiplu lefanav vayamru hinenu lachal avadim. And they all fall on their face and they say to Yosef, we're going to be your slaves. Okay? Vayom alehem Yosef. And Yosef responds, al tiro, don't worry, ki asaches elokim ani, am I in Hashem's place? Vayatem chashabtem alai ra'ah elokim chashava letova. You thought bad things about me. What does that mean? Hashem thought it was good. Because look what's happening now. We're saving all these people because of what you did. Meaning, presumably, because you sent me down to Mitzrayim, I became the viceroy, etc., etc. Now the world of Mesopotamia is being saved because of because this happened. Okay? I don't know if that area is really called Mesopotamia. Whatever, you know what I'm saying. That area. The Middle East. V'ata al tirao, don't be worried. Anochi achakel aschem, I'll continue to take care of you. V'estabchem, v'inachem osam, v'idaber alibam. And he tried to say, don't worry, guys. Don't worry, it's fine. V'yeshev Yosef in Mitzrayim, hu uveis aviv, v'yechi Yosef me'a v'eser shanim. And they lived, Yosef was 110. Holy cow. Okay, well, hold on. Before we continue. Okay, so let's just wanted to put that out there. Okay. All right, so let's go. Ask all your questions. Lots of questions. Sorry, I shouldn't clap. So all the questions you have. What do you got?
I guess I always had, not directly related to this exact conversation, but I always had a question, why was there still a hunger in Eretz Yisrael? Like, why did they, I guess they knew about the Nevuah, but...
Why did they come?
Why didn't they go back after the five years?
Why did they go back to Bar Yaakov? Why didn't they just stay there?
There's an assumption, it's a good question, that Hashem tells Yaakov, go. Right? Yosef sends for Yaakov to come, and Yaakov's on his way, and Hashem, this is the end of last week's parasha, comes to him in a dream, and says, by the way, it's the first time that Yaakov has a nevuah again, after all these years. He didn't have any nevuah all this time. Yes, nevuah, Hashem says, don't worry, I'll be with you, just go down, and eventually I'll take you out. Mm-hmm. So, presumably Yaakov told his kids, Hashem said it's time to go down. They're going down. Did they know this was the thing? They're going to be slaves? I don't know what they knew exactly. But they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to Yaakov, go.
They
should be there. And Hashem doesn't say to him when it's going to end. Exactly. So you're right. Maybe they could have like come back at that point, but maybe there was still, you know, the different things. Chazal said the famine ended once Yaakov arrived. That's a medrash. But presumably there was an assumption that like we're going to stay now for a while. Yeah. Good. Okay. So what else you got on this whole story here? There was a lot of questions. Yeah.
Obviously, the brothers didn't trust that Yosef really forgave them.
Okay.
They seem to have assumed that he was kind to them while their father was alive, but now that Yaakov's gone, they're in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Yosef's going to get back at them, so they're trying to save themselves.
That's what it sounds like, right? And so save themselves, you mean save themselves, meaning that what?
They're trying to appeal to Yaakov. To Yosef's respect for Yaakov,
right.
And say, but you know, Tati ordered you before he died not to.
But that's assuming what? That the thing that they're telling them. So first of all, there's a bunch of things here. One is the assumption that Yaakov knew that they sold Yosef to Mitzrayim.
Correct.
Which we don't ever have in the text an explicit
him finding out.
Time that Yaakov finds out. The Rav Shimon Schwab actually says that last week when the brothers come up to Yosef and they up to their father to bring him down, that he doesn't believe. They tell him Yosef's alive, but he doesn't believe them. And then it says, they tell him all the things that, which is a simple part, they tell him what Yosef told them, right? But Rav Schwab says that means they told him the story, that they came clean. But no, I haven't heard anyone else say that. Because other Mefarshim also talk about all this time Yosef's with Yaakov. One of the reasons why Yaakov has to call Yosef to bring him, you know, when he's sick or to give him a bracha is because this. I think the Ramban writes this, that he stayed away from him because if he was nervous, if he could ever get him by himself, he'd be like Yosef. So like, by the way, like what happened? And that Yosef forever kind of just like avoided being by himself with his father, so he would never have to tell him. I'm not saying that's good or bad for family dynamics, but that's what Yosef did. So there's definitely many who think that Yaakov never found out, in which case, this really sounds bizarre. Good. Mm-hmm. What else is bizarre about it?
If it actually happened that Yaakov had this warning to Yosef, why wouldn't he just tell him directly? Why is he going through the brothers
to tell Yosef? Very strange. If this is something Yaakov wanted Yosef to know, he could have told him. He had a whole powwow with him. Your mother died, I didn't bury her, you buried me in Israel, not in Egypt, etc. If that's something he wanted them to know, then tell them, right? It's very strange. Okay, yeah, what else?
Maybe the offense isn't the same offense that they're all talking about.
What do you mean?
You know, we weren't so nice to him, they might have smoothed the edges a little, but not how awful it really was for Yosef. Maybe even to protect Yaakov of how bad it really was for Yosef.
Meaning that what they're saying, maybe that even if this message is really true, maybe it's more that like the way we treated him when we were kids.
Right.
Not about the selling to Egypt.
Because the time in between didn't happen. It happened for Yosef, but it didn't happen for them. The story ends until they come back down.
Okay. Okay, could be. Yeah, it's possible. Good. Anything else? Yeah.
I came in a little bit late, but as you were reading...
No, you're good. You didn't miss me. You just read the story.
As you were reading it, I'm like, is he reading from Vayigash? Because like this literally sounds like a speech Yosef, not speech, but how Yosef responded to Yehuda. And like when Yosef had his whole response, there isn't like a back and forth dialogue. Yehuda has his whole
thing.
Monologue, and then Yosef does.
And then they're quiet. Only, they don't say anything.
Right, they're quiet the whole time, and then only after all of that happens, then I forget exactly what it said, but like the brothers did something or they said something. Maybe it was after they whatever. I remember reading and looking at what Rashi said on the pasuk, like why does it say something about the brothers then? And the brothers basically were like mute the whole time Yosef was talking,
right?
Because they were like
shocked.
There's no way he really forgives us, right? But like I don't know. We're about to read Rashi next, but I feel like if there's already some understanding that like there was this full forgiveness, like...
What's happening now? Huh? What's happening? I thought we're good.
Aren't we past this?
Right, I thought we're good. Right, good. Excellent.
So one last thing. It sort of shows a total lack of emunah by all the brothers in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Like, if they truly believed, as Yosef keeps telling them, this was... not you, this was Hashem's plan,
right.
Then they'd have no fear right now that he's going to get, he's going to hurt them anyway.
I think part of it is that they would not forgive him if he did something. So why would Joseph forgive them?
Right. Yeah, sounds like a lot of unresolved issues here. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly.
I was going to say, like, usual.
There should be a lot of unresolved issues here, right? But this sounds like a lot of unresolved guilt that they have about what they did, and maybe they feel, yeah, it's... Yosef can be a big mom and say, don't worry, it's a gamzu l'tova, etc. But like we still hold guilt for this, and maybe Hashem will get us anyways. But let's see, all these questions bring rise to lots of explanations in the Mefarshim. I understand this, yeah.
Sorry,
no problem.
Outright lying.
What?
They're outright like lying.
Could be.
Right, but also the second thing is, isn't there something like they're not, their father just died, like they're using his name to...
Yeah.
Get themselves out of a tricky situation, isn't that
Yachi?
That's what they,
like, in halacha we call it Yachi, I think. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're correct. It's like, right, if this really is all a lie, it's very weird. It doesn't sound unbecoming of the brothers, right, to speak. It's unbecoming of anyone to talk this way, certainly the Shifteka, to talk like this. So like, the whole thing is very weird. So we need some explanation, so we're going to see a few. You'll see if any of them you like, but as with a lot of these difficult stories, we're going to have answers that resolve some pieces and probably don't resolve all the pieces, and we'll see, but let's take a look. Let's start with Rashi. Rashbam is not all that... The Rashbam is not all that... doesn't have much to say here, so Rashi is going to help us a little at the beginning, and we won't read every single Hebrew word here and all these things, but let's just take a look at the beginning. Rashi says, Vayiru achi Yosef ki meis avihem. Ma vayiru. I mean, they saw. I mean, they saw. Of course they saw. They just went to a funeral in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael. It's like, then they saw. Hikiru b'misaso eitzel Yosef. No, I mean, there's something that they noticed. Something had changed with Yosef because their father had died. Shehayi regilim misodimo al shulchano shal Yosef v'hayi mikarvan b'shvil kavod aviv u'mishemes Yaakov lo kirvan. That before, they would like have meals with Yosef. And then once Yaakov passed away, he stopped doing that. He distanced himself from them. So what's bothering Rashi? What do you mean they saw that he was dead? Like, what all of a sudden happened? So Rashi's explained, there must have been something that changed in Yosef's, you know, posture towards his brothers that now gets them like, not just like stam, he died. But now Yosef's acting funny. So once he's acting funny, so now you understand, but that triggers them. Oh my gosh, like, shoot, he really is upset at us still. We thought we were good, but now he's upset. So of course they're like sensitive to that. Okay? Yeah.
Where does Rashi even see that in the
exactly. He doesn't know. He doesn't.
Like faith, that was why.
He doesn't know. So good. So he doesn't, that's correct. But does it mean that that's exactly what happened, the meal thing? But there's something going on, right? Because without it, otherwise it's what? They notice that he died? What, does his death did this? What Rashi's saying is that there must be something that changed in Yosef's posture. Maybe it's this, maybe it's, you know, something else. But there's something, what Rashi's pointing out, there's something that changed in the way he was dealing with them that made them feel bad and made them go, oh gosh, what's happening?
Right, I mean, I just feel like it's really clear in the pasuk. Like, they were just anxious that their father died. He told them not to do anything. And like, I feel like it's not, like, why does it have to be?
Because it's been a long time that his father, I mean, again, it could just be, they went through this whole song and dance, he died, they went to the funeral, et cetera. Now, it's like, you know, I was telling people, like, first day after Shiva, people said Shiva, then it's like, and then like, you walk around the block and you come back in the house, and now it's quiet. And now what's going to happen? That's always, for a lot of people, the hardest day is the last day. Like, now what am I going to do?
Back to reality,
yeah. Right? Which is much harder. And that's sort of like what's happening here. Like, okay, now what? Right? And so Rashi wants to say maybe they saw something more here. Okay? But look at the next one. Luyus Tamini. We're going to see this phrase addressed in a number of ways in different Mefarshim because it's a very strange phrase. Luyus Tamini. We don't have to go through every point here, but just look a little bit in Rashi. Luyus Tamini. Shema Yistamini. Maybe Yosef will, again, like, hold this grudge against us. But lu is a funny word. When we want to say, you know, perhaps, there are other words the Torah uses. Shema, Dilma, there are other words that the Torah uses, you know, that reflect a concern that maybe something will happen. Lu sometimes means it's something you're hoping to happen, actually. So Shema Yistameinu, he says, what? Lu Yehi Kivarecha, right, yeah. So take a look, Rashi says.
Yeah.
So Rashi says, what?
Or the song.
Like the 1970s. Beatles cover.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know Lu
Yehi? Yes, you do.
I don't know. Someone's like, someone's just singing. Oh, you shouldn't. Okay,
yeah,
fine. Exactly. I'll look it later. I'll look it up. Okay, Lu Yistameinu, Lu Mitchalek Linyanim Harbei. So Rashi says, Lu can mean a lot of things. Yesh Lu Meshamesh V'Lashon Bakasha. V'Lashon Halvai. I hope. Right, could go on. Lu Yekid Varecha. Lu Shameini. Lu Ho'alnu. Right? Sometimes Lu Masnu. There's times when Lu means I hope, which would be a very strange thing to say here, right? V'yesh lo mishamesh v'lashon im v'ulai, perhaps, kagon lu chachmo, lu gav, etc. Fine? V'yesh lo mishamesh v'lashon shema, right? Lo yistamenu. But the point being, this word lu is very ambiguous, and it's not so simple what it means. So Rashi is saying, I think it means, we're nervous, lu yistamenu, maybe now he's going to come get us, right? But it's what's interesting, and we're going to see other approaches to this word, that maybe it's not so simple. Perhaps Lu doesn't mean perhaps, and we'll see. Okay, so now look at the next one. Vayitzavu el Yosef. Also, very strange language. Vayitzavu el Yosef. If they wanted to say they spoke to Yosef, what should it say? Vayidabru el Yosef, right? Or Vayomru el Yosef. And if it wants to say that they commanded Yosef, which is also weird because he's the viceroy, Vayitzavu, it should be Vayitzavu es Yosef. Not Vayitzavu el Yosef. Right, kemo vayitzavim al bnei Yisrael tziva lamoshel aron lihios shluchim al bnei Yisrael. Right, we're going to see later in Parashat Shmos, actually very soon, that Hashem commands Aaron and Moshe to tell Am Yisrael. So vayitzavim al bnei Yisrael is a command to, it's a sent command. Right, something someone's sent to deliver a message. Af ze vayitzavu el shlucham lihios shaliach el Yosef lomar lo kein. They didn't come to Yosef and tell this to him. They sent messengers to tell this to Yosef. Also
scared
weird.
Of him.
Scared of him.
It's protocol. He's a viceroy.
He's the viceroy. Yeah.
Like Yaakov,
Esav,
like he sent people ahead of him.
Good. We find other cases of brothers who don't get along who send a shaliach to deliver a message. Right? It's delicate. Vet mitzivu, who did they send? At Bnei Bilha, Shahiru Gilim, so they say that some of the Rashi says some of the brothers went. Who? Bnei Bilha. Why? We know from the beginning of the story, Yosef would hang out with Bnei Bilha, Bnei Zilpah. He didn't hang out with the Bnei Leah. Right? So maybe the Bnei Leah, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc., they sent the Bnei Bilha to talk. You guys go talk to Yosef. You guys are friends.
You have a better relationship.
Yeah, you have a better relationship with them. Interesting, right? Fascinating. Okay? And how about this? Avicha tziva, okay, your father commanded. What's all of our problem? We don't see their father command. Says Rashi, shinu bidavar mipnei hashalom. They, shinu,
changed,
meaning, that's a nice way to say, lied.
They lied
because of shalom bias. Kilo tziva Yaakov kein. Shalom nechshad Yosef beinav. How could Yaakov have sent such a message? He didn't. So Rashi says he didn't. He wasn't choshed. He didn't suspect Yosef he would do this, right? But so Rashi doesn't say because Yaakov didn't know. Just by the way, he doesn't say that. But at the very least, he didn't suspect that Yosef would do anything not nice to his brothers. So there's no reason that Yaakov would have done this. So therefore, they lied. So Rashi massages it, saying shinu mipnei hashalom. They lied for peace. Where do we find an example of someone who did that? Hashem lies to Avraham and says, your wife said that she's old, right? I'm not going to have a baby, right? So Hashem is Mishanah Pnei Shalom. That's the first example of Mishanah Pnei Shalom. Hashem sometimes lies to preserve relationships. Okay, this is only one very, very different, very, and I think this is very important actually, a very big difference between Hashem lying to Avraham to maintain peace between whom?
Husband
Avram and Sarah. Yeah.
Right.
Here, the brother, forget that that's Hashem. Right. But here, who's lying?
The brothers.
It's self-preservation. To save themselves. Yeah. It's a very slippery slope that to be Mishana and Pnei Hashem, you can lie to preserve your relationship with someone else is actually very complicated. Right? I think it's a much more dangerous situation. You know, there are times, by the way, times in, you know, where you should lie for shalom bayis, you should lie for tznias sometimes, you should lie, like, you know, a couple sometimes has to lie to someone where they're going, whatever. Like, there's scenarios where you do have to sometimes be shalom pnei shalom, but not to lie to the person.
It's a slippery slope.
It's complicated. So I'm just saying, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, shinu pnei shalom, which clearly the language is the language of maybe there is like some defense here for them. Okay, fine. Okay, and what do they say? Son of the Pesha Avde Elokei Avicha. Why do they say that he said, let go the sin of your servants who are those who are the servant of the God of your father?
Very wordy.
Very wordy. But why does he say that?
They're trying to separate themselves or create distance.
Create distance? Or who are they? They're Avde Elokei Avicha. Not your servants. Who are they servants of?
God, just so like we're all in the same.
So like Rashi says, imavicha meis elokav kayam. If your father died and now you're no longer worried because Abba's not around anymore to see the bad thing I'm going to do to my brothers, well, remember, God hasn't died. Uh-huh.
And you're his agents.
And we're all together. We're all the children of Hashem. Uh-huh. Right? Then you know, Uncle Moshi. Right? We're all the children of Hashem. So Abba's still watching. Mm-hmm. Abba's still watching. Okay? Fine.
Did we talk about why it's Avicha and not Avinu?
That's a good question. I think the point is saying, he's just saying it's you know, your father, you know, but again, it feels very cold also. Like,
yeah.
It's the God of your father, like, that's our father.
It reminds me, like, let's say maybe it's like a cartoon, like when a woman's like upset and like her kid comes, like, "Oh, go to your father." Like, I feel like
that's what comes off. Yes, yes, yeah, correct. So we can talk about just Rashi for the whole shiur, but the point is that this is how Rashi is reading this story, right? That they are lying, to preserve their relationship with their family, let's say, and they send it as a shliach because they want to be careful, they want to do it carefully, and they talkamated it up. And how does Yosef respond? Guys, like, relax. I'm not God. I'm not here to judge you. I told you already. Same thing he said before. Hashem thought this is okay. It's all right. This is okay. And he speaks to try to calm them down. Fine. Okay. Good. Fine. So that's Rashi. So Rashi reads it as a lie to preserve the family. They're terrified, and Yosef basically says, "It's okay. Relax." Fine. I'm not going to come get you. Look at the Netziv in source number 3. Source number 3 is in Hamak Davar, which is the commentary of the Netziv. It says a couple of really interesting comments that I thought were very interesting. So he writes the following. Lu yistameni Yosef, the same phrase, right? We said it readily as maybe Yosef will get us. Lu dekan hu melashon im, kamo lu chachmo, right? Again, perhaps. Lu anochi, kibir shrashi. He says, velo milashon shema, not like perhaps, but like it might happen, okay? But he says, umashma'ud ha-mikra yistamenu hu machshava vi'iyun eich la'asot ra'a. What's this word, yistamenu? Also a very strange word, yistamenu. So he says, yistamenu means, it's like a person who's plotting, making plans. Lu yistameni Yosef, he's gonna like try to like hatch a plan to get us. It's not just he's gonna kill us all. He's gonna hatch a plan. Why? He said this before. What's this gonna do? Mida k'neged mida. You sell me to be a slave, I'll sell you guys to be a slave. Not so simple.
Reuben had a plan. When you suspect someone of doing something wrong, that other person could say to you, "I would never do such a thing," because it really doesn't come into their mind. But Reuben and the brothers knew people can make plans against people.
they had a plan, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly, so they know. But the point is that Yosef taking revenge on them wouldn't have been so simple, if you think about it, okay? Afilu hu Moshel Gadol, even though he's the ruler, right? What would be difficult for him to do this?
It's also like control Z in what he did in the last parsha. Like he had Paro.
Control Z, yeah.
Like he had Paro welcome.
Undoing,
them,
like, in case anyone didn't know. Yeah, to undo, yeah.
No, yeah. Like he had Paro welcome them. Like, they got like the red carpet rolled out for
them. It'd be kind of weird for Yosef to like go after them so overtly now. Right. After like, everyone heard, base Paro, Boa, Hey Yosef. It's like now I'm going to like, so like he's not going
to. And he also figured out, not necessarily a lie, but he like gave them the language to use when you come, like say that this is what you do. That's how we'll make sure that you get the right land.
Yeah, Paro gave them all of Eretz Goshen. Like it's not so simple. Like all of a sudden he's going to like kill them all. It's impossible. But what could he do? He'll figure out some backwards way. He's a powerful guy. And he can figure out a much smarter way. Yosef's a smart guy too, to figure out to do something to them, right? He's going to find a way to get us. Didn't need to kill them. That would be much easier. He's going to mamish. They think he's going to find a way to like get back at them, mida kenega mida, but he's going to do it in a smart way. I'm just saying, I think it's a great way to read the words. Lo yistamenu. It means he's going to like find something to do to them. Fine. Go ahead.
Just thinking of it, just generally that even though the brothers hated Yosef, we never see that Yosef hated his brothers.
We don't see he hated them, but we do see he treated them badly at the beginning.
How did he treat
them? He would speak Lashon Hara about them, right? His dreams maybe wasn't like outright nasty to them, but it sure wasn't brotherly.
So he instigated it.
So he,
when they come to Mitzrayim, he's like teasing them, right? Like,
he does treat them difficult way when they arrive. That's true. That whole charade, that wasn't so nice. And no one really talks about that, by the way. That's a different conversation. Huh? How's that go? We've had that conversation maybe a different time, but yeah. Good. But, okay, so good. Yeah, good. So that's a whole different question. Why didn't Yosef say who he was? Fine. But the bottom line is, I think it's a very interesting idea. What is this thing that they see? Your father commanded. What do you mean Yosef was sitting there the whole time? He's right there. Right, he was the main guy. He was the closest with his father. No, he told us. He didn't tell you. Come on. Venira shehiskilu lahavino asher b'ma she'amar b'birchas Yosef vayifazuz ro'ei yadav. Okay, what the Netziv wants to say is that they're reinterpreting the words that Yaakov said in front of all of them to Yosef. You have a chumash there?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it really fast. You know, we don't really need it so bad because just he explains it. Sheshavach also, he praised Yosef. Why? The language of Yaakov, right, is very poetic in these brachos, right? And Moshe does the same thing when he blesses the tribes at the end. Also, very poetic language of the brachos. But what do those words mean? Sheshavach also, Yaakov praised Yosef. Shelo yarachitzim vakeshes lehamimarim lo, meaning that he praised Yosef in that moment in the bracha for not taking revenge on the brothers. So because Yaakov said it then, what are they saying? We were all there, Yosef. Abba said, shkoyach, that you didn't take your revenge on them. So you see that he doesn't want you to do that, right? I love this pshat. Because now they're not making it up, right? And what they're saying is, Yosef, and this is very reasonable, right? We were all there. Listen to what Abba said. He told you, like, I'm proud of you. You didn't take revenge. Maybe you could have, but you decided not to. That was the right thing to do. So you see that Abba didn't want you to take revenge. In which case, now they're not making it up, which is actually very nice. Okay, you don't have to love it, but I think it's actually very interesting. Good. Okay, so that's another just like small piece, which I thought was actually very interesting. Take a look at the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. This is Or HaChaim HaKadosh in source number 4. The Or HaChaim is called the Or HaChaim. There's only some Mefarshim who call it HaKadosh, like the Shalah HaKadosh, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Like we don't call them like the Ramban HaKadosh. It's not our, right? But the Or HaChaim, those people are called HaKadosh because they're masters of Kabbalah. Even the Ramban was also a master of Kabbalah. But usually that's how they're like mystical people. So the Or HaChaim's Pshatim are very often like kind of mystical. So listen to what he says, and this is a good example. He writes the following, Lu yistamen Yosef, right? Maybe Yosef's going to get us. Perish Dilma, meaning, what is Lu? Means perhaps. We don't have any other place where the word lu means perhaps. There's no chaver, has no friend, right? There's no other place where it says that. Why does the Torah use that word? When they say, when the pasuk says lu yistamin yosef, it doesn't necessarily mean that the brothers use the word lu per se. Right? We talked about this once, right? Yeah. So why does the Torah use this language? So Shemash Mauto Haragio Hu Hefech HaKavana. Again, lu sometimes means I wish. Hopefully. Right? Lu Yakid Varecha. That's a funny word to use. Right? Why would the pasuk use such a pasuk, such a word? That means the opposite. Vagam She'en Makom Lit Os Lavimbo Zulastim. And again, here there's no other way to read this except for saying it means perhaps. Afa Pichen Haya Lolomar Lashon Sodek. Tzodik, pen, ulai, again, you should use a different word. Perhaps, right? Ulai. So what's going on here? Vinire, ki akasuv divrei atzmo ka'amrlo. That this pasuk ki'ilu, it's not just the brothers talking. It's like the Torah talking. And what is the Torah saying? Va'kavana bazeh shehem yiru al davar shalavai, shiyekein. Maybe it should happen. Shiye meshiv lahem, that they should get what they deserve. That the brothers should suffer the amount that Yosef suffered. And Klal Yisrael wouldn't have to suffer for so many generations because of this sin. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Golos Mitzrayim, the Gam Golos Ha'acharon, Tzeyomar Mahayala Asara Amudei Olam. That basically there are, Chazal tell us, that there are things that happen to Klal Yisrael in the future. Terrible things happen. Why? Because of what the brothers did. Because of this sale. In fact, karpas, at the Seder, why do we dip karpas? Ketonet pasim. Right, that in the end that Yosef, if Yosef hadn't been sold to Mitzrayim, maybe we never would have gone down. Again, there had to be some fulfillment of the Bris Bein Basarim. But the Bris Bein Basarim was not a promise to go to Mitzrayim. He's going to go to some nation and he's going to suffer and he's going to come out. Didn't say exactly how much and for how many years and how bad it was going to be. And so, in a certain sense, what the Aruch Haim is saying is that the language the brothers say, Lu Yistamin Yosef, they mean perhaps. But Yibono Sholem is almost saying, Lu Yistamin Yosef. Like almost halavai that you would have got what you deserve. Because if you would have got what you deserve, then they would have gotten the kapar themselves. And this, and all of the struggles that Am Yisrael has afterwards wouldn't come from that.
The thing with the shoes.
Yes.
And that whole
Asar Haruge Machas. Asar Haruge Machas. We see the Asar Haruge Machas that we read about on both on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur.
Right here, I have to do back to you. Right. You never pay for it.
Right. What do you mean? What the reference here is that when both on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, we read about the Asar Haruge Machas, the ten martyrs, 10 Kamil Chachamim were killed. They weren't all killed in one moment. They tell it as a story as 10 as 10 who came in and were all killed by the Romans. It wasn't, they weren't historically killed that way, all at the same time. But the way the Torah story is told is they come in and the Caesar says to them, you know, you sold your brother for shoes and you're going to get it now. And that basically they get, these 10 martyrs get killed, Big Tamil Chachamim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, etc., other get killed. Why? Because of this Avera of the selling of Yosef, which was never, they never fully did tshuva for, and never were fully, you know, paid back.
So who's at fault? Them for not doing tshuva, or Yosef for not taking revenge? What are we supposed to
good,
walk away with that
good.
Yosef should have taken revenge?
I'm not saying that the Aruch Haim is saying that Hashem would have wished that Yosef would have taken revenge on them. That's not, because I think there's a lot to be learned from the fact that he forgave them, but. I think we've talked before about the fact that it's not so obvious that Yosef forgave him, actually. Maybe he just didn't whack them back. But he still harbored some...
Necessarily.
It's not so...
He doesn't actually say, I forgive
he
you.
He never says.
He says Hashem had a reason for everything that happened. And if you look at the words...
Yosef never says, Salachti kivarecha. He never says that. He never says, I forgive you. He says Hashem had a plan. Okay, good, fine. But my point is this. It's complicated. So Yosef doesn't take revenge, and shkoyach to Yosef for not taking revenge. But the bottom line is, this is never fully resolved. And this is, I think, what we're really seeing here. This is not fully resolved. But I just wanted to show you the Aruch Haim. It's like so. I just find it's such a fascinating point that he makes. that like this language of Lu maybe is a double language there. So to reflect, on the one hand, they're nervous personally, and on the other hand, Hashem is kind of watching from above. I mean, like, guys, you know what? Like, I know you're nervous about yourselves, but you don't even have any idea of what impact that this terrible thing has for Klaisa. So it brings up a different problem, Hashkafaki, which is, I thought that children aren't punished for the sins of their father. So there's a lot of problems with this, challenges with it. But I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating.
We repeat. I almost sometimes feel like Jews repeat what the brothers did, like the brothers of the Sinat Chinam. I think you spoke about that some weeks ago. The Sinat Chinam. They were the only B'nai Israel fighting with each other. You said some weeks ago, and now we still fight with each other.
Yeah. Absolutely. Excellent. Yes. Absolutely. The Baal Turim in Source Number 5 just notes, like, what was it that they saw? So he quotes a Medrash that says that when they were heading back from burying Yaakov in the Maros Machpelah, that they walk past Shechem on the way back, and Yosef stops at the pit, and he says that, and Chazal say, right, that when you see a place where Nes happens to you, make a bracha. So he stopped and he said, Baruch Shah Asal the Nes B'Malkam Zeh. There's no halacha yet, but you know what I mean, it goes in the Medrash. And so, but that, on the one hand, Yosef was just giving a Karas HaTov, but the brothers, like, can you imagine? The brothers, like, see Yosef sitting over the pit, and like, you know, like,
it would have been the point for the brothers to apologize, because if you're doing real tshuva,
apologize.
When you come to that point, that's the time to do the tshuva.
And by the way, we never find the brothers say, we were wrong. What do they say?
I was just going to ask.
They say, Abba said, don't hurt us. That's not the same thing.
I was wrong.
Come to our final source. The Kol Simcha, source number 7 that has no source. This is from Simcha Banim of Pshischa.
It
is a mouthful. The Yid of Pshischa, a very holy Jew, who writes a fascinating, a mind-blowing pshat in this whole story. And he writes the following. Let's read carefully. Here we go. There's no English in the whole story. I apologize this week. Okay. But it's worth it for
this.
First page. Thank you. The title. Vayetzavu el Yosef lemor avicha tziva. Our father commanded the name of Salemor. Who did he? Bless you. He commanded who? Perish. Shetziva lahem. Shefaisu. Abba commanded us, he says. Avicha tziva. They sent him to Yosef and they said, our father commanded. Our father commanded who?
It doesn't say. It just says leave.
He says, perhaps it means that they are saying to Yosef, before Abba died, he told us that we need to say something to you. Ko samrul Yosef, ana sana peshvachatasa. You should say to Yosef, we're sorry. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. But they don't.
No, what they're saying is, Abba told us to come and tell you that we're sorry.
That doesn't mean you're sorry.
Okay.
And also, they waited a very long time to say, please forgive me.
So, we're not done.
It's like what we do to our kids when we tell our kids, go say sorry.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's just finish it. Then you can tell me if you like it or not. Hadikdukim Rabu Ma'od. Okay, let's keep going. There's a lot of to say here. Aleph, Lama Nemar, Beis Pamim, Sana. Why say it twice? Sana. Beis, Milas, Viata. Why say Viata? And now. Right? Sana Pesha, Abde. Why say Viata? And now. Gimel, Abde, Elokei Avicha. Why are you calling me the servants of the God of your father? Why are you telling us that? Dalit, 4. Vayev Yosef, Lama Bacha. Why does it cry after he hears this? Venira, Kiko. Venora, Nira, Kiko Machlokas Hashvatim im Yosef. The whole machlokas with Yosef and the Shvatim, and this is very, very important. Shechashvu shekamosha mizera Avram v'Yitzchak nifchar chelak echad la'Hashem. Avram Yitzchak always had one child chosen. Asher bachar l'skulata, who was chosen to be segula, special. V'gam yatzem mehem shar umos shem pasulos. At both times, Avram Yitzchak have children. One is the chosen one, and the others are not. Mm-hmm. Avram, by the way, had more than one other child. Mm-hmm. Okay, he had many other children with Hagar. They're all out of here. Only Yitzchak is in. Okay? Yitzchak has Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is chosen. Esav, see ya. Okay? Kemochein. Chashvu bi'osam sheYaakov ahavis Yosef mikol banav. They saw that Yosef was special. Special clothing, special attention, etc. Chashvu gamken sheYosef nivchar lechelek Hashem vehei midchu chas v'shal. What did they think? Yosef's in and we are out. Ad kir'osam sheYaakov avinu alav shalom lifnei moso chalak lehem habrachos. They thought that, says the Sif Chabanim, their whole lives. Until the end of his life, Yaakov is about to die, and he gives brachos to who?
All of them.
He puts them all around his bed. Right? And he gives them all a bracha. As ro'o shekulam nivcharu la'Hashem. And now they see, wait a second. It's all of us. Okay, like someone should have asked him before. Okay? But by the way, I'm just saying, like, families are complicated. Uh-huh. Not everyone says what they think. Everyone thinks people know. They don't say. I'm too nervous to say. It's complicated. It's not the only family like this. Okay? What? Okay, good. That's why Yosef cries. Hold on. Let's keep going. Pizeh. Now, Yuvana Pasuk. The Pasuk explained. It's explained now. Heitev shemikodem amru stam sana lepesh achecha. Until then, they just said, forgive your brothers. Ki ra gamuluch, they did bad to you. Ki ra'ui lakol vidoy shetiyah built yishum hitnatsut. Because every type of vidoy, an expression of vidoy, should come just totally open. V'ata perish. But now they say, acharkach, perish yedivreyem she'en la'ashimam kolach. But they say, look, we're wrong. And then I don't need to tell you guys this. I should tell husbands this, right? You don't apologize, and you guys also, I guess, right? All of us. We shouldn't apologize and then say, but. It helps a little if you use and. I love you and, right? But, apostles, everything you said, right? If you say but, then everything you said is in the garbage. Nobody cares anymore, right? So, but they did say but, okay? V'ata, they say perish achakach, perish yudivrei, may explain a little bit. Look, we're wrong, but we're not so bad. Why? Why do you use the phrase "avdei Elokei Avicha"? And by the way, just to be clear, this is not a regular family. This is to remind ourselves, all right? This is not like stam guys hanging out. These are the shifteka. They know, right? They know. They have nevuah in their family. They know that they're the future of this big nation that Shem has chosen. They know that. This is not like. You know, it happens to be their tzaddikim. Like, there's nevuah in the family, right? This is not regular sibling rivalry. And to compare it like that as a simple sibling rivalry is nonsense. It's absolutely not true. That's not what this is, right? It's much more than that. It's about the future of this nation. They don't know exactly what it's going to look like, right? And so then they say, like, look, Yosef, just by the way, it was because we were trying l'shem shamayim. We didn't know, right? V'zeh v'yevch Yosef b'dvarim eilav. And that's why Yosef cries. Why? Shagam hu chashav kein.
Oh.
Yosef also thought what?
That they were going to be cut off.
That he was it. How do we know Yosef thought he was it?
Well, he had those dreams.
Those dreams. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he then makes the dreams come true. Mm-hmm. We don't. And who's the one who's the favorite still after they come to Mitzrayim? Yosef. Mm-hmm. After everything said and done, Yosef maybe still thought he's the guy. And he starts to cry because he says, you know what? I also thought that. And so what turns out this whole conversation is that they come to Yosef. They say, our father told us that we should apologize for what we did. And just by the way, but we just want to be honest about it because we're going to have a real conversation here. We could just say, we're the worst ever. We're so sorry. We're terrible. But as most conflicts go, usually it's not just one-sided. Usually not just one person's wrong. There's usually a little bit of both here, which we know there was in the original confrontation, right? In the original issue, Yosef's not so super perfect in this thing either, right? And they, and what according to the Kol Simcha, and then they actually have like an adult conversation. And they say, our father told us before he died, guys, you have to make real shalom here. And you have to really say what really happened. And you have to really explain why you were so upset and why you went after him. Right? And by the way, so why then did they get rid of Yosef?
So that they could have a shot at...
They want to be part of... They don't want him to... Who said that you're the guy and knocking us out? Maybe we're the guy and you're the one who's messing everything up. Right? Who knows? But one of us is going to be gone. Right? And so who says that you're the one and we should be out? Right? It's very complicated. It's not so simple. So, but what I love about this pshat is that at least the conversation now, you go back to the story, right? Go back to the story. Read the words. It's not perfect, right? But take a look now. So they say, "Vayitzavu al Yosef leimor, avicha tzivah lifnei Moshe leimor, koser mul Yosef, ana sana pesha achecha v'chatasam." We read it as, our father told us to tell you not to be mean to us. Forgive them. And now the reading is, it works perfect in the words. They said, Abba told us to tell you to forgive us because we're sorry. We were wrong. Ki rag malucha, because we did the wrong thing to you. Right? Viata sana lefashe, now viata, but by the way, sana lepesha avde elokei avicha, but also let be understanding because we were trying to be l'shem shemayim. Vayev Yosef b'derbam elef, and Yosef starts to cry, he says, you know, I made the same mistake. Mm-hmm. Really, we were fighting over the same thing. And we didn't realize that we're actually all on the same team. Mm-hmm. We thought we had to be someone's right and someone's wrong, when really we could all be right. It might be different. We could all be right. Very beautiful pshat. It's a very beautiful answer. Again, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good, I think. And pretty good for life. All right, pretty good for life in relationships and arguments and when we get wronged and hurt, etc. Usually with the people that care about the most. Sometimes it's one-sided, you know, in really severe situations, but not always. Very often there's two sides there. I thought what you meant, and you thought I meant this, and I didn't explain, and I didn't say exactly what I felt. I should have said whatever the examples are, right? But we don't always fully. It's usually not bad guy, good guy. It's usually maybe there's more bad guy, good guy, but it's usually a mix, right? And being willing to say I was wrong too has a lot of value, right? A lot of value in terms of being able to mend those relationships. But by the way, I think what's clear is that Chazal don't believe this relationship was fully mended. It wasn't. It doesn't end all good, right off into the sunset. And not how it ends.
If it was, we would have gotten like a clear cut apology.
Yeah, we never get it. This still takes a lot of juices, you know, a lot of to pull it out. It's not so obvious, mm-hmm. and it's not so simple, and it lingers. Mm-hmm. And it lingers so far that Chazal tell us that it's something that we have to fix still, even today.
But isn't Yaakov, do we go back to Yaakov being responsible? I'm sorry.